Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dalid. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan is one of the people who are listed as having had an exceptional yoifi, a tremendous, exceptional, beautiful appearance. And Rabbi Yochanan used to go and sit at the Shari Tevila, at the gates of the Tevila's mitzvah, when the women would come out of the Tevila's mitzvah. He said, Rabbi Yochanan said that Livka Ubi, they would meet up with him first, in order that Kihechid Lahevilahu Boni Shviri Kavosi Gemiri Eraisa Kavosi. So apparently the women would encounter him first, and they would think about his qualities, and they would end up being misabe with children who would have the same yoifi appearance as Rabbi Yochanan and have the same qualities, ability to learn Torah like Rabbi Yochanan. This Gemara is actually one of the central marmakoimos in the Achroinim, where the Achroinim discuss the shaila of whether an isha, a lady, has an isser of hiru or histaklus and an ish in a parallel manner to the way that an ish, a man, has an isser of hiru or histaklus in an isha, in a woman. And this question was asked of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and we'll see a little bit this other Achroinim as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked whether the isurim parallel one another, does an isha, a woman, have the same isser histaklus to gaze upon the appearance of a man, same way that a man has the iser to a woman. And Rabbi Moshe quotes our Gemara in the Igus Moshe. Rabbi Moshe tells us that we find beferish in the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan was specifically sit over there, and the women were allowed to mistake, clearly it was permitted for them to gaze upon Rabbi Yochanan when they got up from the Tevila. So it appears, says Rabbi Moshe, that we really can't draw the accurate, precise parallel between the way a man is an Isra Estaklus in an Isha, that the woman would have the converse, an Isra Estaklus in an Ish. The understanding of this Indian, says Rav Moshe, when you get to draw the guidelines, what Isurim women do have and what they don't have, says Rav Moshe, it lies in recognizing that there's two fundamentally distinct Isurim of Hiru that you find by an Ish. One of them, says Rav Moshe, is learned out of the Gemara Masechta Ksubis from the Pasuk in Chumash, V'nishmarta mikol Dovor Ro. And Chazal learn out from there, Shalo Yaharher Odom Bayoim V'yovo Lidei Tumah Balayla. In other words, Hashmarta Mikol Dovor Ro means to refrain from Hirhurim in a Maisa Bia, thinking about the Maisa Bia during the daytime, because they would end up with the person having a carry by night. And Ramayshi explains that this is the first Isser of Hirhur, and it's an Isser which is based upon the concern that it will bring about a particular outcome. The outcome is it will lead to Hoytzoras carry. So it's Nishmarta Mikol Dovor Ro. Ramayshi says that there are other Isurim that we find in Shas which are also based upon this kind. Concept. The same thing, says Moshe, we find that the Gemara says that it's aser to look upon Balei Chayim kishen is davgim zelozeh. In other words, when the mating, the zivug of livestock, of Balei Chayim, when that takes place, you're not supposed to look directly upon it. And that, says Moshe, is the same iser because it leads a person to contemplate, to come to Yehurim, and to end up to carry. The same thing, a person is not supposed to look upon the big dates of an Isha Hamakira, to look upon the special colorful garments of a woman that he's familiar with. It leads to Yehurim in the Maisa of Bia, and all of this, Rav Moshe says, is based upon the Isser, because it will lead to his blindness in the Maisa Bia, and thereby ends up that a person will come to a carry at night. This Isser, Rav Moshe says, really has nothing to do with the question of whether the woman, a person is being meharher in having a beer with her, whether she's muteris to him or asurit to him. It's nothing to do with that. Even if she's muteris to him, he has this hirhur in her, and the problem is the outcome that it will lead to a carry balayla. The second Isser, says Rav Moshe, that we find in Ahurim is based on the Gemara and Brocha stuff, Yud Beis, based on Lois Asuru, Acher Levavchem, V'Acher Einechem, and Chazal say about the Acher Einechem that that's hirhur Hur Avera, and that's a well-known, the Sefer Chinuch speaks about this. Sefer Chinuch brings in Zafri on the Pasuk, Lo Yisasura Achir Levavchem V'Achir Einechem, Achir Levavchem Zu Minur, or Avoid Zora, and Achir Einechem Ze Zinus. That means a person shouldn't be misboined and contemplate and think be Mahar Her in Yonei Znus. This second Isser, based on the Pasuk in Krishma, Lo Yisasuru, Rav Moshe says that Isser has nothing to do with some problematic outcome that might end up coming out of it. And a demonstration of this, says Rav Moshe, is the fact that we have the Achir Levavchem, which is Minus or Avoid Zora. And there the problem is not that it's going to lead to something else coming out, but rather it is an intrinsic issue, a problem with the contemplating the Inyone Minas and Avoid the Zora. And likewise, Achil Vavchem Zuznus is also, and that's a person being Mahar, being thinking about doing a Maisa, be Asura, in an issue who's Asura Loi, specifically the woman is Asura Loi, and there the Isser is an intrinsic Isser. This Second iser, which is intrinsic to the etzem hirur in the ma'isa aveira, the bias aveira, Rabbi Moshe says that we find clearly that women are included in it, the same way that men are included. It brings a raya from the Sefer HaChinuch, which Mitzvah will see later. They will talk about the tshuva from the Satmarov on the subject of Noshim, Mistakel, and Mahari, and Anoshim. And he also, Satmarov also discusses this raya from the Chinuch. They both bring the raya from the Chinuch. It's a very strong raya. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Pei Zayin talks about Leisasuru, and the Chinuch explains that not to spend one's time contemplating achrei levalchem v'achrei neichem, contemplating in yonim of minus and in yonim of znus. And the Chinuch concludes by saying, "V'nei heges mitzvah zu b'chol mokem uv'chol zman bizchorem uv'nekevois." So the Chinuch actually said b'feirish that this is applied to nekevois as well. And the Moshe says it makes perfect sense. Why shouldn't it? It's an issur of being involved, preoccupied in one's thoughts with a biyasura, and women and men are the same. However, as far as the first issur goes, which is the problem that it's going to lead to a carry, so the Moshe says it's clear that Noshim would not, and not even shayach to that, because they really don't have any parallel in any kind of a ma'isa. There's no hitzos carry that we're going to come to, which is any kind of a problem. Rav Moshe says we do find a sugya nida. There's something a dam chimud, which a person is mechamed. You know the sugya nida. A person has a woman has a desire for an ish and leads sometimes to a dam, a ri of dam. However, Rav Moshe says that even though that's true, we don't find anyway that that's some kind of a problem mitzad any kind of an isser in the etzem bringing out a dam chimud, and therefore this issue that the isha shouldn't or that the man by the case of an ish not supposed to have any kind of a hirur in the ma'isa bia because it will lead to a keri, so that entire sug, the entire category of issa does not apply to noshim. And meila, that's what Rav Moshe says. The bottom line is that an isha, a woman, has an issa to preoccupy herself with the etzem ma'isa bia in her thoughts, the same as a man, if it's a ma'isa bia in a person who is also, and that's the issa of loisa suru, which is the same women and men. And as far as the staklus says Rav Moshe, that we don't find the chazal asa the staklus because it's going to come to a person leading to have thoughts of a bia, a suru in and of itself. That's not what it is. The Yisr Estaklis says Rav Moshe is in that it's going to lead it to a keri, and that's in a shmartam he called Dovarol, like we spoke of, and therefore that's where we have this distinction women and men. And Mele is very good. The Gemara here says Rav Moshe that there was no problem with the Yisr, no Yisr Estaklis, that the Noshim should be able to look upon Rabbi Yochanan. So this Yisodiyistik Achuvin, the Igros Moshe sets up the guidelines, it sets up the two basic dinim in the Yisr here in Estaklis. And the other Achroinim who discuss the Shail of Estaklis in a lady and a man, looking at a man, they discuss another Maram Mokam, which is not mentioned by the Igros Moshe, an important Maram Mokam to get into. And that is Yalkut Shemoini in Shmuel in the name of a Sefri. In Sefer Shmuel is a discussion, a story about Shol, who's looking for Shmuel HaNovi, and he encounters these Naorois, these young women, and he asks them where he could find the Novi, Shmuel, and they gave him a long speech, a very long Megillah, that he Kavoya Chamayir, Kain Timtsoi, etc., etc., a very long drosha they gave him. And the Chazal, in a number of places, asked what was with the very, very big arichus that the young women had. So then this question is asked in the Gemara in Brachos as well. And the Gemara in Brachos gives three different shitas, three opinions. Rav says, Shanoshim dabroni oisem, that's time it's the habit of women to talk by arichus. Shmuel says, Kedele histakel biyofyoi shel shol, because Shol was an exceptionally handsome person, like the Pasuk indicates. So therefore, they kept him talking for a while in order that they were able to look at his handsomeness. And Rebbe says another reason, in other words, since it was time for Shaul's leadership to come to an end, Shmuel's leadership to come to an end, and Shaul to begin his leadership, and Shaul's leadership still a little bit to go, so in Meil and Shemayim they time it very precisely, and that's why they kept Shaul talking. It was Minas Shemayim in order that his leadership should come to being a little bit later. Those are the shitas in the Gemara. Now, in the Sefri, quoted in the Yalkut Shemoini and Shmuel, it also discusses this question, what was the big arichus and the answer of the young women? And the first answer, Rabbi Yehuda, says that Mabitois benoyois shel shol veloy hoyu seveyois mimenu. In other words, that they were looking very, very much at the beauty, the noy of shol. They weren't satiated from it. They kept on wanting to look. So therefore, they were talking a long time. Omar le Rabbi Yosi, that's the lashon of the Yalkut in the Sefri. Omar le Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi said to Rabbi Yehuda, in Cain, Asisa benoisi throil kizoinois. If you're saying that, they wanted to keep looking at Shaul's noi, so that's making them out to be like zoinois, like those young women be like zoinois. V'haloi, isn't it so? That kishen shi efshala ish, lozun es einov, me'isha she'en ru'uyoloi, just like a man is usur to satiate his eyes in looking at a woman who's not ru'uyo to him, so too, kach, So the same thing is also conversely for a woman to be lozen to satiate her eyes at gazing at a man who's not hers. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that it was not the time yet for Shaul's leadership to come into being. So the Maisa in the Sifri, we have a very strong zog from Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi totally rejects Rabbi Yehuda's idea in the Sifri that they wanted to gaze upon Shaul's yoifi, because the Tanya is making the mamish to be like zoinois, in the same way that a man can't be zon es enof from a mistakel and an isha. So to an isha is not allowed to be zon es enof, living mistake on an ish. And how could you possibly say this pshat in the Russian that they were talking for so long? So the question here is, it's a very Sifri brought in the Alka Chamayni, and what's the story with that? Oh, first of all, who do we pass on like in the Sifri? Do we pass on like the Sifri? And should we take out of here that Noshim or Asur is mistake on an ish? Now, the Satmarov in the Tshuva, in the Divya Yoyla or Chaim Yud, brings down the Tshuva's Tshuras Shai, that's the name of the Tshuva, that the Tshuras Shai passes like a Yossi in the Sifri, who's Machmir. In other words, the Tshuras Shai Tainus, that's a klal and shas b'chlal, that Rabbi Yossi is nemukha imoy, and we're always supposed to go like Rabbi Yossi when he's chaylik on Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore over here too we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, and the Tshuras Shai went lahalocha l'maisa b'negeir to the shayla, the big question about how to build the Esos Noshim in the shuls. There's different stodim. Do you have to, the different shitas about the extent to which it's also for a man to look at a woman? Is it also meikar din the riya? That's a different question that Moshe and the Samarov had a big argument about. But the Tshuras Shai named on that the same way that he understood that the man can't see the women, he understood that likewise it would be also to for women to see the men, and he said therefore you have to muchrach to set up the mechitza and shul in such manner that it's mamish impossible for the women to see the men. And he brings this raya from this sifri brought in the Yalkut, which he says he passed like a b'yaisi that a isha has a isha estaklos, and a meila he says it's mamish, it goes both ways, the men can't look at the women can't look at the men. He learns that Allah l'maisa, that's how mechitza and shul has to be built. Samirov rejects this particular chumra, even though he is very machmir, as you know, about the height of the machitza being geared to the men being unable to see the women, that was, he was very stark machmir on. But in the same tshuva, he says that you really should not extend that this next step of the Tshuras Shai and say that it be likewise, also if I care, the women should have to see the, impossible to see the men. Today, of course, this issue is very easily geared to one-way glass machitzas, and it seems that in olden times, obviously, over 100 years ago, they didn't have the one-way glass. But despite that, the Samarov indicates that actually it was something of a minhug in many places that they did build the machitzas in such manner that the men wouldn't see the women and the women could see the men. Apparently, this seems to have been done by means of a lattice work where there would be small holes in the machitza, and the women, when they specifically wanted to, they could look into the men's side by especially being mechavin their gaze, so they could look on the men's side. And the Samarov writes that that's actually, he says, Noagu mikadmas denoa, that's actually a minig, an earlier minig, he says, that they set up the shuls in such manner that they're not bothered the women could see the men. And he certainly is not supposed to go with this Tshuras Shai's chumra, even though he based it on Sifri, it's mamish keneged with a minig among gedoylem. He says, even among gedoylem and kedoshim, the shul was built in such a way the women could see. And the Samarov makes several points. So first of all, he says that the whole sugya of the Simcha Beis HaShe'eva in Masechta Sukkah clearly indicates that the problem is only one way, which we really learn out really from there. Poiskim take out from the sugya of Simcha Beis HaShe'eva this Indian of the Noshim. Over there, the Gemara says over there that they specially built it with balconies so that the men were down below and couldn't see the women, and the women were up above them. But the Gemara says that they could see the men being Sameach, but Simcha Beis HaShe'eva. And the Samarov says it's absolutely clear there was no problem with the women seeing the men, and that was the way that it was built. He says, Bemis the Tshuras Shai really discusses this problem because it's an obvious issue that you see clearly the women were looking at the men by the Simcha Beis HaShe'eva. So the Tshuras Shai said over there it was impossible. Possible to do it any other way. There was huge numbers of women and you couldn't keep them out and you couldn't keep them away, and there was no way to hem in the vision of such tremendous numbers of women. So ain't done an efshe mishi'i efshe, he uses the Lashon HaGemara in a few places. You don't done what's impossible and unavoidable and extrapolate from there to the avoidable. And Samarov totally rejects this, and he says, why could you say such a thing that it was efshe if the din would have been a din gomor that it's istaklus? Chazal would have said the women can't show up, or they would have said they have to be behind very high walls. It's a vanda. There's no way to say that the kohenim weren't in charge of the Beis HaMikdash area and they weren't in charge and they couldn't build walls. It's not true, he says. and he says there is a clear raya from the Zichus Beis HaSheeva. But as far as the raya from the Sifri, the Satmarov makes a couple of points. As first of all, Zakta Satmarov, this Sifri is not even brought down to the Gemara at all, and Fakarit, the Gemara and Brochus with Mamash discusses the Shaila of why the Na'arois, the young women, were Meirich to talk. So the Gemara brings down the Shmuel's opinion was that they wanted a Mabit on the Yofi Yoshel Shol, and there's not even any mention of any Daya HaChilekas over there that says it's a problem and it's also, and how could you make the basis all like Zoinois? There's not much no Shum mention of that at all. And the Satmarov says we find many, many times in the Poskim that they say that a Daya, even if it's in a Sifri or it's a very Choshiva Maimer from the Tanoim, if it's against the Gemara and not in the Gemara and against the Gemara, then they reject it because the Gemara is authoritative. And he said the same thing we should say over here, and this day is not put in the Gemara, it's not La Halacha. Second of all, Zakta Satmarov, really, he says he would like to learn that Ulai, we should learn that the Sifri does not mean to say that there's an Etzem Isra of Estaklus and Noshim, and a Noshim comparable, let's say, to the case of women in Shul looking in the men's side, or the case of Suchas Beis HaShayeva, where they were looking at the men who were performing and being the Sameach and the Suchas Beis HaShayeva. That could be with Bechlalat, the Kavan of the Sifri. He says it's very atochen to learn that the Pshat in the Sifri is that Rabbi Yossi in the Sifri was Asering a case in which the Noshim are specifically miskaven to be neneh from the looking at the appearance of the man. They're not just being mistakel, stamas are looking fixed at him, but that their whole kavona in looking is to be neneh, which that was the case over there, that's what we're saying, according to that, they are in the Sifri, Rabbi Yehuda, that they were looking to be lehonois, and that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're making them out to be like zoinois, and etc. But he says, to Ulai, he would say that there actually is no day, even in the Sifri, that holds that that there's a etzem isser in noshim being mistakel in a man's tamazoy for mistakelos if it's not with a special express purpose of miskaven lehonos, and that he says that's certainly a dovah garua. In other words, it looks at Satmarov like he's saying, in other words, that even there we're not going to mamash aser because fakeret the Gemara brings in the Shmuel says that the oris were looking at him especially till bahabit the yofioi that they were not surveyor from it, they wanted to keep on looking at his yofi. So apparently we can't aser that. It's not mentioned. The Gemara mentions this concept, and it's not mentioned that it's aser in the Gemara. So even there we're not going to ask her, but the Satmarov says it's surely a dova garua. In other words, that's a nidriga, lowly type of a thing to do, certainly not an appropriate thing to do. And that's what we have a machloikas about in Sifri, but it seems from him that even there, although it's nidrig and it's not appropriate, but to say that it's awesome, you could then that we're not going to say. And the Satmarov says again that there's actually a number of other Gemaras, like he quotes our Gemara, that the Gemara says clearly over here that the Rabbi Yochanan says he was outside, he stayed outside of the tevila, the mokum tevila of the Noshim, they should come back and they should mistakel on him. So it's absolutely clear that from this and from other Gemara says Asamarov, there's no Isser and Etzem Isser of Histaklus, Stamos like gazing at an Isha and an Ish. It's a parallel similar Gemara in Brochas Daf Chof, where the Gemara talks about Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol, he would go sit by the Shari Tevila and he would actually direct to the women, I guess in advance, he would direct to the women, he would say, this is the right way to be Tevil, and that's the right way to be Tevil, and he would sit Mamish right by the Shari Tevila. So over there also, it's apparent, says the Asamarov, Rav Gidol also was right there by the Shari Tevila. Now, but then the Satmarov brings down from Achroinim that it's not before in the Gemara that the women mistakel of Gidl. He was just directing them what the right way to do the Tevila is. Well, you do see that the women mamish mistakel, and that is before by Rabbi Yochanan, like our Gemara, because that was the whole point. They would mistakel in him, they would look upon him. Some Achroinim say that their thoughts would be upon his qualities, upon his yoifi and his learning. And so clearly you see from this Gemara that there's no etzem iser of estaklus, that a woman should have iser of estaklus at a man against the sheet of the Tshura Shai who answers it based upon the Sifri. For the Maisa la Halacha, it appears that the Satmarov is on the same page with the Moshe Feinstein, that there's actually no Etzem Isser of Histaklus Noshim in Anoshim. The Satmarov is adding something that's not mentioned in the Igus Moshe, although certainly the Moshe could agree that it's a Dova Garua, certainly if the woman is Mistaka with the express purpose of Lehonois, but even over there it appears that it's not an Etzem Isser Me'ikra Din, according to Satmarov and the Moshe, unless they're Misboin and the Bahar here and the Etzem Maisabia with an Ish. They're also in. Rabbi Yamin Zilber in the Teres Estaklus also analyzes these same, and he goes through some very similar, come out the same two dinim as Rabbi Moshe, etc. However, Rabbi Yamin Zilber really adds one point, which is actually significantly more machmir in this one nekuda than Rabbi Moshe and the Satmarov, Me'ikra Din. As Rabbi Yamin Zilber also goes through the Tzvei Dinim, the two dinim and the Isser of Hir, and he says that the Isser that leads to a Keri, the Isser of Hirhurim, and the Isha even permitted to him, and etc. So those Isurim we only find by a man, and this because it leads to a Keri, and a woman. So
certainly would not have that iser. The same is to look at the chayav oif when they're mating, and that iser also leads to a carrying. So those are isurim. He says that you don't have that by isha. The Gemara says loshim lav benoit hargosh, and then the women don't have any kind of parallel concept that didn't come to you might see carry. However, where the Torah says Daklas departs from these other achronim is he actually agrees that we pass him like a b'yosi in the sifri. He brings the sifri and he brings the true shai, and the Torah says Daklas wants to say it's really the same argument that the Satmarov made in terms of that there b'yosi in the sifri who says asisa benois yisrael kazoinois, you're making them out to be the equivalent of zoinois because it's osir for an isha to look upon a man, etc., etc. So the Torah says Daklas claims we do pass him like a b'yosi, and he says, however, that he believes that Rabbi Yossi was only asering, similar to the Samarov, only asering in a case where she is specifically mechaving lehonoi, specifically intending to be nene from looking at the man. The Torah says Daklas says a couple of points. First, he says that he thinks that the pashtas hamashmois of the Sefri is that Rabbi Yossi wasn't coming to mechadish a new din, but rather to bring up a din which was mamash a given and was poshet, because the Sefri says him nasisa benoisi through kazoinois v'aloi, isn't it true that kashen that he's also in her, she's also in him? So the whole toikef, the shtarakite of the Loshin, is mashma that Rabbi Yossi is not the mechadish of that din. So the Torah says Daklas wants to say, and this is somewhat of a dochok actually, that even Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the Sifri that the Noshim were trying to look upon Shol to mechave to minen in him, that really he was saying that since this iser, that osir for ishat mestakel and ish, mechave to minen, is not a well known iser, and it's an iser that's not widely observed and not widely known, and therefore it didn't bother Rabbi Yehuda to say that they were actually over on this iser, because they didn't realize that they were being mestakel with an intent to be nen in Shol, which is actually osir. The Torah says Daklas seems to name on also that that's in the Gemara as well. In other words, it was saying that Rishmuel says in the Gemara in Brachas that they were chavin to be nen and be looking at the appearance, the beautiful appearance of Shol, that that actually was an iser, like you see in Rabbi Yehuda in the Sifri. It just happens to be that it wasn't a well-known iser and doesn't bother us to say that they were nichshal in it. So the Torah says Daklas actually paskins this din that an isha, but again, it's specific to a case of an isha looking at a man with the specific intent to be nin from his yoifi, which that the other gedolim, it seems Ramosha and the Satmarov don't answer it, but they certainly consider it to be a Satmarov says a dover garua, it's a nidriga, lowly kind of a thing and not appropriate to do. But even in that, you know, the Torah says Daklas is saying that he believes it's osam ikra din, but if Shad is certainly dochuk, because in the that is the free, you could say it, but he says it even in the Gemara, and the fact is in the Gemara there's not much no mention of this thing. The Gemara says that the Shmuel said that the Naorois were trying to look and minen by looking at the beauty of Shol. There's no mention of the Gemara at all that such a thing is a problem, so it sounds like the Gemara should have mentioned that there's such an Isser, if in fact it would be Isser. But this is the Nekudas HaMachloikas. Other than that, Teres HaMachloikas, Teres HaTakos, in other words, holds that it's specific in a case where she's mechaving lehonois in the appearance of the man. Otherwise, we really have clearly, and it's mavur, in the Gemara here, like the Achrenim being the Raya, that there is no problem for the Noshim to mestakel at the B'yechanan's beauty, at the Yoifi of the B'yechanan, and that's in and of itself, it's not a problem. You don't have an intrinsic Isser in the Noshim to mestakel in a man. It wouldn't parallel the opposite case of a man mestakel in an Isha, which is also, like we said, because that's the part of the Isser of Hirhur. Later on the Omud, the Gemara brings at the bottom of the Omud the story of Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, and briefly, what's Negea to us, it says that Rabbi Yochanan Chalish Hadas, he felt bad from something that Rabbi Shlokish said, and because Rabbi Yochanan Chalish Hadas from it, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish ended up getting sick, and he ended up actually dying. He was nifter, he passed away. And after the passing of Rabbi Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan was left without any chavrusa to learn with, and he was in tremendous, tremendous tsar. Heicho at Bar Lakisha, he would cry out and call out, "Where are you, Bar Lakisha?" He couldn't handle it without Rabbi Shlokish being there, and he kept on crying at the shof daitemine, that it seems that he went crazy in some manner. And again, boom, Rabbanon Rachme Alei v'noch Nafshei. So the Gemara is mavur that the Rabbanon a mespalel upon Rabbi Yochanan that he should die, apparently, and he ended up that he died. So then actually is a chiddush. I mean, the Gemara is mavur that there's such a thing apparently as being mespalel that a person should die. That out of Rachmanis, the person is such a terrible matzav, so they mespalel that he should be nifter, and v'noch Nafshei was nifter. Seen in the Shuvas Ber Moshe actually points out about this Gemara, that this Gemara seems to be a clear support for a well-known Ran that the Gemara says, that the Ran says in the Mesach and the Dorm Daf Mem, the Gemara over there speaks about Biko Choylem, it's tremendously important to visit someone when he's sick, and there's bad things that happen if you don't visit someone when he's sick. So if you don't visit someone when he's sick, the Gemara speaks out that if you don't visit him, you're not Mevakash Olav Rachamim Loisha Yichya V'Loisha Yoma. It's a very, very cryptic Gemara, that you won't end up being davening, not that he should live and not that he should die. The Ran over there discusses the question on the side of the page in the Dorm, what was the havamina that you should daven that someone should die? Meila, you're not there, you're not mevakach choyla, you're not davening that you should live. That makes sense. But why would anybody think that you should have davened that you should die? And the Gemara says, well, you didn't go, so you won't daven that you should die. Vos epis. The Ran over there says a big yisoid, and the Ran says that there actually is such a thing. So at the Ran, that there are times when a person actually has to mevakish, it's the right thing, Taka, it's the mevakish that someone should be nifter. So at the Ran, and we actually find such a thing. He draws a parallel to the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis by the Amtsa de Rebbe. It says that Rebbe at the time of his Ptira was very much in Tsar, the Gemara says, and the Rabbonim were davening and davening and davening, and therefore they were davening so much it was impossible for Rebbe to die. Rebbe didn't pass away because the woman kept davening for him. So Amsa Devi Revi finally saw how much tsar he was in. So she said that he wrote sign she akufu al yoinim es atachtoinim, and then she made a loud noise and they stopped davening, etc. But the Maisa, she said the fair she wrote sign yakufu al yoinim es atachtoinim, that the al yoinim, the celestial beings, should win over the tachtoinim, the lower beings, the people, and they should take away Rebbe. So the Ran says he actually do find such a thing, Zokter, that with such a thing, we find Mamash Gemara, a story in which by the Ptir of Yudha Nasi this actually happened, and that is Zok Deran, a case where a person will surely die, it's certain that his death, he doesn't have a chance of living, in other words, and he's in tremendous tsar, and so he can't be saved life. So in a case like that, the Ran says we actually have a mocker in the Gemara from Mamash the Rebbe, we must follow the person to die, and who at the thing where it means over here, but if you're not Mavaka Choylem, you're not going to follow a person, not that he should live, and not that he should die. So the Bitsina says that that's what you find in our Gemara. This Gemara is a riot to this concept. Bor abonan rachmi alei v'noch nafshi. They would have an abiyach and they should be nifter. Now the Debet Siner, the Be'er Moshe, goes through a shak of attire. First he says that he believes that he can't learn that kapshuta. That's the first hanocha pshuta, the starting assumption of the Debet Siner. He says, how could you say that a person could mamash die, the mispal of someone should die? What happened to the fact that we know that at the end of a person's life, the halacha and shulchan aruch is that you're not allowed to do anything at all that's going to hasten the death? And Yerdeishin Lamitesa talks about doing different things that could cause a person's death to come quicker, and they're all also, you're not allowed to do anything that's going to cause a person's death to be quicker. So how could you say over here, you're going to daven a person should have to die to bring about his death? So first he wants to say that the pshat is you don't daven specifically you should die. You daven that the Yisurim should come to an end quickly, in whatever way that could come to an end. You just daven the Yisurim should come to an end. Now Yoist, that this person has no chance of recovery, so Meila your tefillah will end up getting translated in Shemayim that he should die. But you're not coming to daven directly that he should die, which the first Hanoch of the Debret Siner is to say that that's actually not your talking to do that, and that's why he says that he wants to say first that that's Loshen Boy Amon Rachmi Alei V'Noch Nafshe. They almost find Rachmi Alei. In other words, not specifically he should die. They find Rachmi. In other words, that his Yisurim should come to an end. Granted, that gets translated into V'Noch Nafshe. That's what he wants to suggest. It's in the Gemara here. In the end, however, the Debret Siner is choizer from this because he brings down that by Choini Hamagol in the well-known story Masechta Tainis, so it says that he slept for 70 years and then he woke up and they didn't give him kovoid in the right way, and he was unable to continue. Say, boy, Rachmi will miss. That's Lashon Gemara in Tainus. He davened and he died. And when it's Mashmi, he davened lehedi straight out that he should die. So the Debet Siner says that ultimately that the correct chat is that you really could daven that a person could die. And the Maisa, that's what's coming out of the Ran and out of the Gemara over here. He could daven that a person could die. He says the pshat is because you're not doing anything directly. You're not doing the pula that hastens the person's death. You're just asking. You're turning it over to Hashem. You Hashem, you gave him life. You should take away his life now, and you're just putting it before the Eibishter, and the Eibishter will make the decision. You're asking, but he'll make the decision, and therefore, consequently, that's not called doing a pool that hastens to death. And he says, you find a similar zog by Chaim Mentradin in the famous story. He was one of the Sugi Malchus, and they threw him into the fire. So the Tambidim asked him, why don't you open your mouth and cause the flames to kill you quicker? So he said, Mutav, that the one who gave me life should take it away. So that's the concept, Zok, there, that you could say that, you could mispal for it also, you mispal to the Eibishter, and the Eibishter will make the decision, and ultimately, that you really could go, that you could mispal that a person could die. Now this is the Ran, and really it's brought down by the Poiskim. In the Ran, the Aruch HaShulchan in Yeridei and Shin Lamed, he quotes this Ran Befeish, that the Ran actually speaks out of it there. He actually quotes the Sugya and the Ran. He says, if you're not mevakach choyla, you're not mevakach rachem sheyichya or sheyomus. The poem is Oktar Hashoch and Yeshle vakach rachem sheyomus. Sometimes you should daven a person should die. Going sheyeshle yisurim harbe v'chol yoy v'ef sheyichya. Those are the two nekudas. He has a tremendous yisurim, and it's surely that he won't live. And Kemaisa the Rebbe Perakanoise, and he quotes the Ran. It's actually brought down lahalacha. Now the Maisa, in terms of whether we would actually practice this lahalacha lemaisa, is certainly not something we're familiar with doing. I'm not aware that we ever have any cases by us that we actually daven that a person person should die. There is a tzitz liyezer in tshuva. They bring them from the word of the Hasvardim and the Sefer Chikikei Lev. The Chikikei Lev says that even though we find that the Ram brings it down the halacha and we find that the Amsa the Rebbe did it, and the Chikikei Lev doesn't question that's actually that is the din, that's taka the halacha, but he says that despite that, he says that he believes that it's impossible for the kroivim or friends or people who are involved with the mace in any way that they should actively daven, they should die. He says because that he says it's lo yimolate, that maybe one of a thousand that they're going to have some sort of a negius in gaining from the person's death. Maybe the beneficiaries of getting part of the estate. Maybe the beneficiaries that it's a tremendous amount of tsar and distress that they're going through now. The person's alive. The person will die. That they'll end the suffering and they'll be able to get their lives back together. There could be various benefits that these people are going to gain. And therefore, he says that your person cannot risk. That's the Chikikei Lev Tainus, that we cannot risk taking that risk that maybe we're going to die with an negius that is for our own gain. That the person should die, which would be a terrible avla as a daven for a death for our own gain. As even though the Amsa Devei Revi was in a similar position herself, she was the Omo of Rebbe, and she also could have had what to gain. Nonetheless, he says, we cannot say upon ourselves that we're Batuach, that we're on the Madrega of Amsa Devei Revi. He says, we find that we're not on the Madrega of Doris Rishayim. The Gemara says, we're not even on the Madrega of the Chamorish or the Pinchas Ben Yoyer. You find the Gemara. So he says that we don't have the ability to take that into our own hands, even though the Amsa Devei Revi did have that ability. So he, in other words, is making a middle ground that we passing like the Ran, Be'etzem, but Alpha Pekain, who did not actually follow this thing, Mamish in practice, in terms of actively misfollow that a person should die. Nonetheless, Dr. Chikikei Lev, he says what we would say based on the Ran is Sheval Tasa Olif. In other words, that if you have a matzav in which you Mashiach, that really the Ran's din would really kick in, Be'etzem, and Be'etzem you would daven to the Makar of the Misa, so Chotch, we wouldn't do that, but Alpha Pekain would be Sheval Tasa and not daven either way. He also adds that Fremder who have no Shaykha to the mess at all and have no possible Negius, so they actually could go with the Ran Halacha L'Maisa, which that I certainly am not aware that we've ever seen. So maybe we go with this type of a Svara, but we extend it to everyone and we don't make any Chalukim at all. Nonetheless, as far as whether the Ran is L'Halacha, I don't know whether there are people who passing against the Ran. I'm not so familiar. There's certainly Gedoyle Achrinim, standard Achrinim, bring down the Ran like the Aruch HaShulchan and others. I know my Zeder, Moshe Sherez Achrinim Vrocha, I remember him telling me once that he was by Rabbi Yankiv, and Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetzki Vrocha told him that there were people who were by him, that people had come into him, and they had a relative who was going through terrible yisurim, and the doctor said that there wasn't any chance, and they were davening, and they were asking Rabbi Yankiv, what should they do? And Rabbi Yankiv said that, I said to them that who says he should daven that he should live? Maybe you should daven that he should die. Now, I don't know that Rabbi Yankiv actually meant kepshutoi, that he was actually suggesting that. That doesn't necessarily follow at all. However, I do believe that Rabbi Yankiv, in other words, that Rabbi Yankiv was accepting in halacha be'etzem that this Ran is la halacha, and so apparently it seems that the Gedolei HaPoiskim have accepted that the Ran is la halacha. How that applies l'maisa is a different inyan for a poisik. On Amud Beis, the Gemara brings down Ba'arichus, a whole story about Rulazar of Shimon, and the Gemara brings down over there that Rulazar of Shimon, when it came time for his Petira, so he told his wife that she should not bury him, and because he was afraid that the Rabbana would not give him the proper kovoid in the burial, and therefore, consequently, he told her that she should actually leave him up in the attic, and she left the guf like that up in the attic for 22 years, and the Gemara brings the whole story. We'll talk a little about that in Mitzvah Shem coming up. Al Kapon him the Mashal and the Achroinim asked the basic question that L'chayr the Chiv Gur is not Torah, so what in the world was the Heter B'chlal that after his Petira that his wife should refrain, should fail to be covered him? This Mamash a Mitzvah in the Torah, Kovisik B'Rinim B'Yimahu. It's learned of a Pasuk in the Chumash that one of the Mitzvahs is a Mitzvah to bury the mess. So what was the Heter? As I frak the Mashal. So the Mashal says two truths into this Kashim. The first Heter to the Mashal is that the purpose of burial is for Kovad HaMais. I'm sorry, the first Heter to the Mashal is that for Kovad HaMais it's Mutal HaHolim, which is a well-known din, that you're allowed to delay the burial if you're laying, let's say, for a greater number of crowds, for relatives to arrive. That's a greater cover for the mace. And for cover the mace, you're allowed to delay the burial. So that's actually what's happening over here, because Lazar Shimon told his wife he was concerned that the Rabbanim wouldn't be oisek in his burial, in his levaya, koroi, in the proper way. So therefore, she was delaying the burial, and that kufa led to a kovoid. The Mashon is actually very sosom about this and doesn't explain how delaying the burial is supposed to lead to a kovoid. The truth is, though, that this Indian is actually elaborated on the Ben Yahya. yada, this particular nekuda, what was this thing about delaying the burial because they're not going to properly give him COVID? So the ben yada fanort, right over here, speaks out that the concern he had was that they were not going to allow, Rabbi Hashim was concerned that the Rabbanu were not going to allow him to be buried besamuch right next to his father, Hashim ben Ichoy, the great Hashim ben Ichoy, and that was where it was appropriate to bury him. But Lamai said that they're going to look upon, they look askance upon certain activities that he did, that the Gemara brings, he was involved in certain things that the Chum didn't really like too much, so perhaps they won't appreciate his godless, they won't think of him as a god of a kodesh in any manner that's similar to his father, Hashim ben Ichoy, they won't bury him nearby, and then it is the lack of kovoid, that says that the ben Yayoda, that the Rabbanu were concerned about. And Mela Zoktaf, then the ben Yayoda, that's what he told his wife, that he should leave him unburied in the attic for many, many years, for 22 years, and like the Gemara says, Lamaisa, that there wasn't actually no rima, there was no decay at all, except for one little worm, except because of a Maisa Shahoya. So really, in other words, then the Rabbanu saw after all this time that he was really a very big godlin, a very big kodosh. So after then, after all that time, they were willing to be bury him, and they taka went and they buried him adjacent to his father, Hashem ben Ichoy. So that fits in well, that's the Marsha's idea over here, that it's mutter to delay the burial for the purpose of the Kovet HaMeis, and this was for Kovet HaMeis. That's the first teretz of the Marsha. Second teretz of the Marsha is that in terms of the objective of Kavura, the Marsha brings the Gemara actually as two tzedolim Masechta Sanhedrin, if the objective of Kavura is for the purpose of Kapora, in other words, that the body decays and that itself leads to a Kapora for the Meis, it's a Kapora Savoinoi, so the body disintegrates like that, or is the Pshat that it's to avoid Bezoyan HaMeis, and that's because since after death the body decays, so therefore it's Mesis Nisbazer, so therefore you bury him in the ground. Either because of Bezoyan or because of Kapora. So Tamar Shah Vibal, those of Shimon knew that these in Yonim were not shaykh to him, because he knew that his body would not decay, which we actually had yesterday, this thing, that also Shimon did this special scientific test, and he took that to fat, and he recognized that he wasn't going to be subject to decay, Af Besorah Yishkan Lovetach, like the Gemara quotes, he quotes the Pasik. So therefore the Shimon was not shaykh to either of the time of burial, because the body wasn't to decay anyway, so therefore consequently there was taka no mitzvah of burial on Lothar Shimon. Shimon, because the reason didn't apply, which is obviously a chiddush to name the son, but that's what the that's the second side of the Mishnah, that the time of Kvur didn't apply, and Mela she wasn't mechuyev to bury him. The Sefer Mayoni HaChochmah here, the Peirush on B'Metziv from Rabbi Leib Tzintz, brings in a similar mahalach, but he works with the time that he brings from the Zohar. Apparently, it's brought in the Zohar that the reason for Kvura is that in case it would be nigzar on the nefesh to go through a gilgul to misgalgel, so it says in the Zohar that as long as the guf is still kayom and hasn't disintegrated, it's impossible for the nefesh to go to misgalgel in another person. And in Melo, you bury the person in order to hasten the disintegration, the decay process, in order that the guf won't be kayom, it will decay, and that way the nefesh will be able to misgalgel another person. Curiously enough, it's apparently compared, the way the Melanei Chochem brings down, it's compared to Kabbalah to the Inyan, you're not mashadchin le'ish. Isha calls man she'ishta le'nikvara. In other words, a man, his wife, Le'olenu, just died, so until the wife is buried, you're not mashad for the man and other Isha. So likewise, apparently, it seems that the guf is comparable to the Isha in this shidduch with the nefesh, and in Meila calls them that the guf is still kaim, the Shemayim, they wouldn't be megalgal this neshama into another guf, and in Meila, therefore, that's why you bury to hasten the decay process and allow the kapara of the gilgal to be brought about. Zokta Meyana Chochma, that since the Lothar of Shimon knew that he was mashlim, his tafkid, and he wasn't going to have to go through any gilgal, so consequently, since he was kimle in this thing, he knew this, so Meila, he was in a unique situation, he knew that he did not need the kavura, and consequently he was able to say that there would be not any need to have this mitzvah of kavura. However, later on, after 22 years, when it says that the Shechina was mevazeh, the loss of Shimon's almona, that you'll be like your husband, who were never able to come to any kind of a burial, so then the wife saw, in other words, that the Shechinois were not recognizing that Shimon wasn't that madreig, and they thought he did need a tikkun, he needed a kavura, and he wasn't getting it, so then everybody felt it was a bezayon, and the Rabbanon said it was a bezayon, and Mela at that point they were covered him. So that's another mahalach, similar to the idea of the Marsha, that he didn't have by him the time for the Gevura. The Maratz Chayis over here brings down this kasha, why did they delay the burial of Shimon? And he says he once saw a Sefer Hasidim on it. He says he doesn't have the Sefer Hasidim, it's in the Tachas Yodi, he doesn't have it. Now, actually, I looked at the Sefer Hasidim, it's in Tov Tov Shin Mem Gimel, and the Sefer Hasidim doesn't ask directly the kasha of why they didn't bury the burial of Shimon. But Takapon, the Sefer Hasidim does make a couple of comments on this idea. Sometimes you have people that even after they die, the guf doesn't decay. It doesn't decay, you even bury them, and they check later on, and the guf is not not buried. Now, we had yesterday, and we discussed it yesterday, that there's various chazal that indicate that by big tzaddikim it occurs. And the Sefer Chassidim points out that it's a madrega of very big tzaddikim. But the Sefer Chassidim asks, then toimav alay kama nochrim, moitzim adam b'nei adam shleimim. In other words, that apparently you have nochrim that die, and their body is left for a long time, and people find that the guf is still shalem. So l'chayr, they're not big tzaddikim. Why did it happen to them? Acha kama shonim, he says, even after kama years after the death, l'sholta b'hem rima. So why is that? So he says a curious thing to Sefer Chassidim. He says, that's zeol l'rosam. By those people, that's l'rosam. It's actually a negative thing for them. Why? Because this way, they're nidoinim im haguf. That way, the din, the hard judgment from Shemayim is a din that's with the guf, which is a harsher judgment. The person is judged with the guf. So therefore, sometimes in Shemayim, they dafka cause that the guf shouldn't decay, that the nefesh and the guf will be nidoin together. By the way, this, it doesn't explain exactly why that's a harsher judgment. We did have yesterday, you could still sue the Malbim and the others that we spoke about yesterday, the Achroinim that we said over yesterday, that speak about this inyan that calls man that the guf is still kayim for the nefesh, or this chalokim of the ruach that is still trapped in there, and maybe that's why there's a tumas mace that comes better as a result of that. So therefore, that, in other words, as long as the guf is kayim, yamamish, it's nearer, it's nicker, so to speak, that the guf entrapped the chalokim of the nefesh within it, and therefore that's a very harsh thing and perhaps leads to a harsh din. But the Gemara says in the Hemshech of the story that for 22 years after Rabbi Yosef Hashem's Patira, he had told his wife she shouldn't bury him, so his guf was mushkav in the aliyah, his guf was lying in the attic 22 years, and when there were two people that had they needed a judgment between them, so they would stand at the door, and one of them would say his tainus, the other would say his tainus, and a coil would come up from the aliyah, a voice, the voice of Yosef Hashem, and he was ready to nifter, his voice would come up from the aliyah from the attic and say, ish pleni atachayev, ish pleni shatazakai, so he would actually paskin shailus for all those years, even after his Patira. The mashal that they asked the kasha, and the Achorinim asked the kasha, that l'chayra, how do you have that? What happened to the din of Leib Shamayim, which is a well-known din that in person's nifter, he's already in the next world, and mainly he's unable to paskin and he din him at all. So it's Leib Shatayr, it's Leib Shamayim. Matzchayesov, he actually points out that there's a Gemara actually coming up later in the Sugya of Metzia about Rabbi Banachmeni, which is coming up later on in the Sugya, where it's Mavur over there. The Rabbi Banachmeni paskin the Shiloh, we'll see, you have to see the Sugya with Beheris Kudn, we'll say a love, and etc. He paskin the Shiloh Mamish at the moment of his death. And the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Nachmani's psak over there. And the Kesef Mishnah says, because the moment of his death, he was ready by Shemayim, and Leib Shemayim he. So the Kolshkein, so the Meretz Chayas over here, he already was Nifter, how could he possibly have that he paskin Shailas? So there's Etlecha Trutzim on this in the Achrayim. The Mashah answers that Lozer Hashem was just Megala who the Emes was with. In other words, who was the one that the monetary was entitled to the money? Who was the Metzias was entitled to the money? It was just like a Gilly Milson, the Metzias, whose money is it really? Whose money is it? So therefore, that's just the Gilly on the Metzias. And that goes, in other words, like the derech that you find certain marmakaimis that the megal the metzias is not a problem of shemayim. To just tell you who it was with. Actually, well known achronim in Yuma, when you get to the mon, the Gemara says when they had a boy who was born to a woman in the shaila, if it was she was the tishal the risha in zayin laachroin, a woman got married to two men successively, and which the kid would belong to. So the Gemara says you could look at with the mon, which family got the mon, and the mon could tell you was megala things like that. And really, there are some achronim they speak out that even though love shemayim he, it's a gili of a metzias, he can megala metzias in even a shemayim dick away, then it's not a problem. Just telling you the metzias. Then Mashonim Zonavi here, he was just telling the reality of who's entitled to the money. And apparently, it wasn't, according to that, you would have to say it wasn't a question of paskening din. Apparently, it was just a question of cases with the shiloh of a metzias. So that is how the Mashah answered. Matzchayes over here says a different teretz. The Matzchayes answered the question by saying, he says, Momoin is yehiv l'mechila. That's an expression that he quotes. In other words, that momnis is given to be able to be moichol. It's not like isav heter is up there, which is not a question of being moichol and just accepting somebody's mishpat. Isav heter is an etzim question of is it osur or mutter. But Mashenke momnis is you're allowed to be moichol momnis. So therefore, the Matz Chayes, when they came and they accepted to hear the mishpat from the Elazar Shimon, so it's kinis ratzel ozeh. That's the lotion of the Matz Chayes. It's kinis ratzel ozeh. What I think he means by kinis ratzel ozeh is a somewhat sosantic thing that be'emes the mashmoyt of the Gemara is masha pashtus that they did not know he was deceased. The Gemara says a little bit later in the story that once the Shechina made the kind of a negative, nasty comment to Elazar Shimon's almona that you'll be like your your husband, that he's not meh, he's not buried after all these years without kavura. So then the Rabbanan said it's already a bezayin to him, and like Rashi says over there, because the word is out that he wasn't nikbar, the word is out that he's not buried. It seems to be pashtus that there was an attempt to hide the fact that he was deceased, and that the litigants likely didn't know he was deceased, and that's why I think the Marzchayas doesn't say that they were nisratzu and they were moichel each other, which would be an easy answer to give, but it says it's kinusratzu lazeh, since they accepted he should be the dayun. It says if they were nisratzu and we accepted the judgment to be moichel each other, even if for some reason he would be impossible to be done. Which you run the hair there, if that's the kavod of Marzchayas, it's a little bit shver teretz, because it's taka very bechidish. I mean, Tainach, they knew that he wasn't alive and they accepted his judgments anyway. You could say that they moichel each other, like he says, isi of the mechila. Mashenkin, if they didn't even know that, so they thought they're getting a din from a regular dayun. So the chesmen that this kinis ratzel was there because they're accepting his judgment anyway is certainly a very big chiddush. But that's the mahaloch of the Meratz Chayas. This Zilberstein over here in the Mechashukish Chemed on Bometzio von Ort suggests that Ulai, you could say, is soidig a sekateris to this question, which avoids getting into these terutzim of the Marsha of the Meratz Chayas, which each one is like a bit gribbledick, like we said before. The Marsha's teretz is that they were apparently just passing the Metzias in, which itself is somewhat questionable, and the Meratz Chayas says that it's Kilu Moichel each other. I wanted to mention just an interesting thing, that the Goin in Yeshaya, in the Bir HaGro in Yeshaya, Perik Aleph Pasuk Yedaleh, the Pasuk over there, it's in Shabbos Chazoyin Haftarah, Limdu Heitev Dirshu Mishpat. So the Goin says, what does the Pasuk mean, the double Loshin, that you're telling the Dayonim and the Shoitim of Klai Yisrael, Limdu Heitev Dirshu Mishpat. So the very interesting Goin over there, he says that every Dayon, a Dayon a Hogun has to be Pishnayim Berucho. He has to contain two qualities within his ruach. One of them is Otto Goin Liois Boki Bechadre Toira, and the other is Liois Boki Be Yeshuvoi Shel Oilom. One of them is to know the dinim, to know all the intricacies, all the klainchik oisius and the Shulchan Aruch and the Noisek Halem. That's one thing you have to know, Chadre Toira. And the other is Yeshuvoi Shel Oilom, that you could be derken, that you should be able to recognize the Tvias Ayin, Ben Emes Fahasheker, and the Divri Aid, and the Divri Baldin. So that's something that you have to push it very, very with it, and you have to be an able person to know who's lying, who's telling the truth. They were to tell the body language and to be able to sense the truth and the falsehood. And the Goyin says that that's the double lashon, limdu heitev dirshu mishpat. The Goyin says limdu heitev means the limud. Make sure you learn a lot and know the dinim. Dirshu mishpat means to do the practical hands-on mishpat, like the Goyin, to imakir Yeshua shal oilam, who's saying emes and sheker. Very interesting, the two qualities of a dayan. And that's the two qualities of Marashon and Meratz Chayas are speaking of over here. Meratz Chayas says that he was just telling them who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. You know, it's not a question of apparently a Shulchan Aruch that he was paskening. He was just paskening the Metzias. And that you could do even from Shemayim Dika Matzav after the Petira, because he was just saying the Metzias. That's one quality that Dayan has to have. The other, to Paskan the Dinim, and that the Meratz Chayas is naming on, he was doing that too, but he had the so called Mechila. Now, the Ritzach Zilberstein's suggestion is based upon a Rekiva Eger in the Gilgan Shas and Ksubas Daf Kuv Gimel, Vishen the Sefer Chsidim. The Gemara says in Ksubas Kuv Gimel that Yehuda Anossi, after his Petira, he used to come back every Friday night to his home, and he was moitzed in a kiddush. So the Gemara remember says this thing that he was moitzed to them in the Kiddush, and you know, he made Kiddush for them. And Vedira B'Kivayin, the Gilgan HaShas, is learning on this Zach that L'Choira, a mess is not between moitzed people in a mitzvah, but Meisim Chofshi, you're not supposed to be in a mitzvah. So L'Choira, once a person is a mess, he's potter from mitzvahs and can be moitzed to others. So B'Kivayin brings down the Sefer Chassidim that says on this that Rabbeinu HaKodosh, that's not the Sefer Chassidim, he was nearer the Begodon Chamudosh, Loibet Shabbos, Loibet Tachrichim. When he showed up on Friday night, he was wearing the special Shabbos clothing, he wasn't wearing the Tachrich and the shrouds. Loidia Zokter, this is the Sefer Chassidim said, maybe he had a Messiah about this. He was near Begodon Chamudos to say that he was still Betokfoy. Upoites a Rabbi Dechavosim Bekiddush Hayim. He was actually able to moitzi others in Kiddush. Veloi Keshar Mesim. Not like other Mesim, Shein Chovshim and Mitzvahs. Why? Ki im Kechai. Bebegodon Shayol Loivish Bechayev. He came back and the Begodon was wearing while he was alive on Friday his Shabbos clothing because he was not like a mess, he was like a Chai. Vatzadikim Nikroim Chayim Afilu Bebe. That's the lotion of the Sefer Chassidim, his whole lotion. It's a miracle thing. The Sefer Chassidim says, in other words, that you have Madrega of very, very big tzaddikim, which are Kriyim Chaim, even B'misosam, and Kriyim Chaim in the halachic sense, not just in a conceptual metaphor. In the halachic sense, that Rabbi Yonasi could be Poiter, the B'nai Bayis and Kiddush Hayoim, because even B'mois, he was considered to be a Chai, he came back dressed in the manner of a Chai, he had a din of a Chai, and then Me'ele, he was able to emoit to them in Kiddush. Now, B'emes, the truth is that this Rekiva Ege, B'shem, the Sefer Chassidim, The reality is, I mean, is this a zach that's accepted? Does it have parallels in other achronim? So there's actually a chidah in the Shem HaGdolim, that the chidah writes, Meir de Gazach, that he seems to have accepted the, in certain contexts, lahalacha, this thing. It needs a bit of a beer, but the chidah writes over there that kamoshonim, many years, I was matmiya on the mini gisrol that they daven by the kivroi satsadikim. They might, you know, that they go to the kivroi satsadikim, and they daven, they're davening over there. He says the halacha is that they're not allowed to do that. Ain't look great shmao, within the Dalet Amis of a mess or by the Beis HaGvoris, you're not allowed to daven there like it says in Shulchan Aruch, and it's Loya Glorosh. And he says, how in the world, the Rebbe makes fun of the dead that they don't have a Shaykhah to these misses. So how in the world is it mutter and people are davening mamish by the mess and by the Beis HaGvoris? So the Chidah says, likewise, I always had a very big tzmiyah on the Sefer Emek HaMelech. He brings a mice of a Rom Avinu who was Mashem Aminyan. Now, I actually went to the trouble of tracking down this story in the Sefer Emek HaMelech. Emek HaMelech, by the way, is Choshev HaKabbalah. Safe, who was written by a Talmud of the Arizal. So the Emek HaMelech brings down a Maisa, I'll just say it over very bekitzer, that it brings down a whole story over there that in Chevroin, there was only a small number of Yidden who were living at that time, hundreds of years ago, living in Chevroin, a very small number. They were very choshev Yidden, they were special people, but they didn't always have a minyan. And but there are klal, there was not 10 people always living there, and they were lonely that on Shabbos they would get a minyan because people from the outlying villages would come and they'd marshal a minyan. One year, Yom Kippur is Erev Yom Kippur, and they saw that the villagers are not coming. They were elsewhere, they weren't available, and there was only 9 people in living in Chevron, and it was a terrible, and they see it in Yom Kippur, they're one of a minion, so they were crying and everything. So it comes, it's Mamash, it's about to be Shkiyas HaChama, and they see that there's an old man making his way up the way toward them, and he came and they offered him to eat, and he said he already ate. So they went to shul and they started. There was one kamamish almost by shkia by Erev Yom Kippur, and they started and they davened the whole time. The Gansi and Kippur they davened, and after Yom Kippur, so the Kippur was over, so they all wanted to invite this old man to the suda after Yom Kippur, and finally they made a goyrol and one of them won. So this person is about to lead the old man into his house, and he turns around for a moment. He sees that the old man is gone. He had a terrible sorrow. What happened to this person? So that night, the Zokain came in a chaloim to the individual, and he said to him that you shouldn't be in tzar, because I'm Avrom Avinu, that I came to you to mash on the minion, because I saw you, how much pain and distress you were in. You wouldn't have a minion for Yom Kippur, so I'm Avrom Avinu, as mash on the minion. So Chidah says that for many years, I always had a kasha on this story, that has Avrom mash on the minion after he's a mess. The Chayav Avrom is not Chayav HaMitzvus, and in Meila, how can he mash on the minion? He says, finally, Ad Shem Otsasi B'Sefer Chassidim, and he quotes the whole Sefer Chassidim, Tzadikim Nekroim Chayim Vim B'Mis. Saw some, and the male of Yehuda, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, a person at the level of such a tzaddik, is able to be chayav in mitzvahs and even moitzi the rabbin in the mitzvahs. And the male zokt of them, the chidah, that explains the story with Avraham Avinu, which, okay, that you hear. But he also seems to Neman that explains the mini gisrol, which apparently, it's just hard to understand, because, I mean, who's getting mavchin that which per tzaddik is on the madrega comparable to Rabbeinu HaKadosh and which one is not? That sounds like a pel de gazach to make that assumption. However, the chidah says, he does say that it could justify this minig, because the person's a very big tzaddik. And by such a madrega, such a big tzaddik, you don't have any kind of a concept of loyeg l'rosh, because the tzaddik is still chayab mitzvahs. So you really do find this idea. It's actually brought down in the chidah, and he uses it to explain certain maisa from the Talmud Arizal, and uses it to explain the actual minigis role. So the Rabbitzik Zilberstein says that it could be ulai that that's the hezber and the maisa was also Shimon, and you won't if you could have worked this out this way, you won't have to get into what the Marsha says and what the Marzchaya says, which each of it has its own problems that we mentioned. Rather, you could say that he was on the Madrega of a Chai, and Mamish able to paskan dinim. You know, see, Mamish had the ability to paskan halachas because he was not potam in the mitzvahs, and he didn't have. It was not called lebeshamayim. And in Meila, he's if a person is Mamish considered to be a Chai in this world, and it's to the point that he has a chi of mitzvahs till now, so you could say also perhaps that he has the ability to paskan dinim also in the manner of a Chai.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.